So we're going to be talking about, you know, the words. And words are powerful, am I right? So I want to do a pretty cool illustrating this morning. I want to bring Scott Ralph up here for a second. Come up here, Scott. Everybody give him a hand clap. Okay. Scott's a very knowledgeable man. He's been with me for a while. He's been pretty good with the word. So I'm going to ask him two questions, you know, because I think that word, the word of God is powerful. Does everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Very powerful. And we need to know our word, right? So, you know, I'm going to ask him two simple little questions like that. And the first one, y'all ready? It's a tough one. How many animals got on the ark the day when they closed the door, when God closed the door? How many of each animal?
Two.
Okay. Can we agree with this? Two. You say two.
Two.
You say two. We say two. Right. So everybody raise their hands. I say two. Yeah. Wow. All right. Two of each, right? Two male and female. Is that what you're saying, Scott?
Yeah. Two male, two male.
What was that game show? How did it go? Is that your final?
Yeah, that's my answer.
Final answer?
No whammies.
Okay. Two. Well, it says, I'm going to read this directly out of the scripture. And the reason why I want to catch you this, because we have grown up in Sunday school listening to somebody else speak the words to us, right? So hear what it says in Genesis 7:2. Of every clean beast, take seven male and female, and two of every unclean male and female. For years, a simple little thing that we was taught in Sunday school from the Word of God has been a lie. That simple. Let's try another one, Scott. Yeah, you was. You was just a couple off. Yeah. Okay, let's try this one, Scott. Who cut Samson's hair?
Delilah.
Everybody's, now they know this. Could this be a trick? Could I be tricking you all?
What? Did he not get his hair cut?
Well, you know, you see, this is the point. We start thinking about these things, and we misinterpret the scripture because somebody told us, right? So you say?
Delilah.
Delilah. And you all say? Delilah. Well, they are, Scott. They're convinced. Well, it says here in Judges 16:19. And she made him sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off his seven locks of his head. Wow. Right here is two places in Scripture that we have been, majority of all of us have been raised to believe that was really a lie. Give Scott a hand clap. Yeah, now go teach Sunday school to the kids. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. My point is that we need to really understand our words and really go in depth with them and study them. That's one thing I like about what Pastor does. He breaks the Word of God down so good. He breaks it into Greek and Hebrew. And we get a more clarity and a more understanding of the Scriptures, right? So, you know, today he's got this series called Written in Red. And we're going to build this all the way into Christmas. So let's everyone turn to John 3:15-18. Okay? John 3:15-18. And this is a story of Nicodemus. This is where Jesus and Nicodemus had this conversation early in the morning. And a lot of scholars talk about this story. This story was phenomenal. He sits and wants to know how to be saved. He wants to know, I don't want to perish and go to hell. I just want eternal life. And I'm going to read it, and starting in verse 15, it says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Everybody say, perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish. Say, perish again. But have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We're going to zero in on this passage all the way up to Christmas. Let's read verse 15 again. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. These words are written in red. They was published in the New Testament in the Word of Jesus in red ink in 1899. The first Bible in this format was published 2 years later in 1901. The thinking behind it was that the words of Jesus are important, and the average reader needs to be able to easily see what Jesus said. Right? What Jesus says is very important. Very important. No one else in history had words had been more studied and memorized and loved or hated than what Jesus Christ said. Right? Jesus' words are the most powerful words that had been ever spoken. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let there be ground. Let there be animals. Let there be the sea. You know, and every time he spoke, something come into existence. Very powerful. Everything that God spoke was powerful. And it was written down that we could study it. Very powerful. What Jesus says to you is important. Very important. It's good to know that the words of Jesus has general senses to it, but it is very powerful. Jesus has something life-changing to speak to every one of us here today. No matter our past, our struggles, our issues, or how good or bad that we have been. Now, in John 3 and 15, it says this in the Amplified Version. In order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him, relies on him, may not perish, but have eternal life. Live forever. I love that verse. I want to focus on this one I made you all repeat just a minute ago called perish. Jesus says, I'm going to be lifted up, put on a cross, nailed to it. Before then, I'm going to be beaten and lifted up that you could have eternal life. Right? When you hear this word perish, lots of times you hear people, they have this concept of how to be saved. And I think majority, I know in our culture in the mountains right now, we'll just tell you a story. I was at work and my equipment was down one day, and I had this opportunity to sit and talk to a couple of the guys in the office. And I was at the right place at the right time to help this man. And he was really struggling with life. And this other guy was trying to lead him to God. He was saying, well, man, he says, I want to, but I just, not right now. When I get my life together, when I start acting right, I just couldn't help. I said, what do you mean you get your life together? He said, well, I get my life together, then I'll serve Jesus. I said, why do you do that? Why do so many people think that they got to be right before they can have eternal life? And he said, well, you have to. I mean, you can't live this life and then go to church and be a hypocrite. I said, whoa. Wait a minute. I said, what did Jesus die for? He said, our sins. I said, what sins? He said, well, all of them. I said, so you can't serve him? I said, those sins that you've already committed or forgiven. No, you just told me that. You said that he died for what? Our sins. What sins? That means all the sins all the way back to Adam, all the way into the future, that sins that we've not even committed yet, already forgiven, correct? Now listen, I'm not saying somebody has to abuse grace. I'm not saying you have a license to sin. But I am telling you that what he done on that cross was powerful. And it wiped all of our sins clean. Every one of our sins. And I was telling that young man, I said, listen, the problem that everybody is having is that we have to live a sinless life. It can't be done. That's why Jesus came. He said, well, I agree with you on that. I said, so what does it take you to get to eternal life? And he thought. And it's in this scripture here. We just read it. He said, in order that everyone who believes, that's it. You see, that's the first step, is believing. Believing is the key to everything. If you believe, now here's the thing. Everybody says they believe. Everybody says, you know, yeah, I believe in that Jesus Christ. But do you really? Do your words line up with your actions? And that's where it's at. Believe. You know, this is a really cool thing that Pastor wrote down. I thought, wow. On the word believe, not just mental assent, but he said, according to the polls taken in 2013, he said 64% of Americans believe in God of the Bible. He said that 86% of American adults believe Jesus Christ walked the earth 2,000 years ago. He said that 80% of the Americans says their faith is at least somewhat important in their everyday life. They say they believe. So there's a lot of people believes. They believe it. But do their actions line? You know, if you ever hear the old saying, you know, if you're going to talk it, then walk it. We got to get to the point that we line up. Because if you really believe something, you're going to go after it. You're going to go after it, right? Jesus didn't live a sinless life and die on a cross and raise again to give us the ideal to just believe. The Amplified Version, if we go back over to it, he said, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him. Wow. He's telling you right there what you've got to do. When you believe in something, you've got to grab it. You've got to hold on to it. You've got to go after it. You know, there's a story in the Bible about one of David's mighty warriors that they was fighting back to back and they was surrounded by all the enemy and everything. He believed in his sword so much that he cleaved to that sword and he would not let it go. You've got to be able to get to the point that you clamp onto something and never let it go. You've got to believe. Believe. Not only do we not perish, but we come alive. Jesus says, I'm here. Not just so that you don't have to perish, but so that you can truly live. And you know, here's something that I see that a lot of people do. How many knows the Lord's Prayer? You know, he goes, Our Father, which thou is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And that's where we miss it. Everybody's preaching, I want to get to heaven. I want eternal life. I want to live. I want to live forever. But what Jesus is really saying right here, the word perish here has another meaning to it. It has a really neat one. The word perish means to slowly break apart by a natural process. Literally meaning to become rotten like a piece of fruit. Now, when you say the word believe, I mean perish right here, he's saying that he don't want you to go to hell. But up on top, he don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to live hell here. You got it? He says, on earth, just like it is in heaven. So in other words, he wants you to live life that you're going to live up there, down here. That's what he's saying. And he says, and if you don't, you could be like a piece of rotten fruit. You know, have you ever seen a piece of fruit sometimes? And a banana. Grazing is so bad. And I'm going to tell one of these little stories on me that I've not even told Dusty. She ain't in here right now. But I'm looking. I'm making sure. But Grayson and me was home one day, and she loved bananas, and I got this, you know, it's just getting just enough where it's a little bit black and stuff. And so I opened this banana up. She wanted it really bad, and I handed it to her. And, you know, when you got a three-year-old, you really need to pay attention to what she's doing, you know. And she had her a little cup. We're just now giving her a cup and a straw and something. She can still spill it. So I got to really watch. And knowing me, I was on my little tablet, you know, and I should have been paying attention to her. So I turned to look. She's over on the step, and she spilled her pop, or a little bit of cup of juice and stuff. And I went, Grayson, no. And I started walking toward her, and I didn't know that she laid that banana. And you can't slip on a banana. I slipped on that banana, went back, grabbed hold of it, so I broke the stool. You know, Dusty's fixed that stool. She's still to this day can't figure out what's wrong with that stool. But you can, you know. But that, listen, that banana, it was rotten. It was rotten on the inside. It was slippery. But you know what? It looked good. It looked good enough for Grayson and me. I was even going to eat some of it until I stepped on it. You know, it was, it was rotten. And you know, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. He's telling you, you know, look, you don't need to perish. And the one way to not perish is to believe. But if you're going to believe, you've got to cleave. You've got to hold on to it. And you know, if you stay close to it, it's one way in our life today that we can live without ever being rotten is that we'll cleave to the Word of God. You see? It's important that we cleave to that Word. We cleave to loving Him. That we want to hold on to Him. To stay with Him. Work in the kingdom of God. Work in the church. That is important. And what happens? You don't become rotten. Right? So we got to live a life here like we're going to live a life up there. Right? You know, the word believe breaks down in two categories. Well, eternal life. Let me take it back. Two kinds of life Jesus gives. And I'm going to end with this. The first one is eternal life. And that's what he's saying, that we can have eternal life with him, right? So that what does that mean? We get to live in heaven with him. We'll never die again. There's never going to be no more sickness no more. There's never going to be no more cancer no more, right? There ain't going to never be no more politics no more. You know, there never going to be no... everything is going to be exactly the way we dream it. And that's eternal life. The other one is abundant life. And that's what he's saying. That not only can you live an eternal life, but you can live an abundant life. And that's what we're speaking to you guys here today. That not only can you live the eternal life, but you can live the abundant life. How many of us is living an abundant life? How many of us, our fruit looks good on the outside, but is rotting from the inside? How many of us? Where are we really at? How many of us, when we go home, we won't pick our Bibles up the rest of the week? How many of us won't even step back foot in this building to serve and to help? Help the kids, help the children, help adults, help people grow. How many of us will walk in this building and look like good fruit but go home and be rotten fruit? How many of us today? We can change that. This whole month, Pastor's going to be talking about this. About these words written that Jesus said are so important. These are words written in red that Jesus Christ spoke.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.